Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Opel. The all-new Opel Mokka. With a new visor front face and pure panel interior, this is Opel.
Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
Fianna Fáil TD and Justice spokesperson Jim O'Callaghan is in our Dáil studio now. Good morning, Jim.
Hi, Claire.
What did you make of that?
Well, I was invited on the programme to talk about the Children Act, but I listened very attentively to what Kate was saying there. Listen, I know and like Kate O'Connell, she was a very effective TD. On a personal level, I'm disappointed she's not putting herself forward. But listen, I'm Director of Elections for Fianna Fáil in the by-election. So I have to say to you, as Director of Elections for Fianna Fáil, I'm very pleased that we won't be facing such a competitive and popular candidate in the by-election.
So Fine Gael have done you a favour here.
They have, but more than that, they've done Claire O'Connor and Deirdre Conroy, the two excellent councillors who will be hopefully going for this position, a great favour as well. Can I just emphasise as well, Claire, neither of them, there isn't a desired one over the other, as was the case in the narrative given to us by Kate.
That's a bit of a burn for Fine Gael. You don't rate James Gagan then, do you?
Listen, he's a very fine person, but all I'm saying to you is Kate got elected before. She got a significant number of votes in the general election. As she said, she was unlucky to miss out. A lot of the people who voted for her will be very disappointed. But what I want to appeal to them to do, if they're pro-government supporters, is to look at the Fianna Fáil candidates, whether it be Councillor Claire O'Connor or Councillor Deirdre Conroy.
All right, you've mentioned them twice
both of
now.
Them. Well, I could mention them a third time, but I think that would be unfair to Councillor Claire O'Connor and Councillor Deirdre Conroy.
Right, OK, we'll give you that one. And this, of course, a job that you've been given, Director of Elections in the by-election, it's seen as an acid test, isn't it, of your own leadership, looking ahead perhaps at what might be down the road for you?
No, the Taoiseach contacted me yesterday, asked me would I take on the post of being Director of Elections. I'd indicated that.
Putting it up to you there now.
Inviting me to do it. I'm delighted to do it. Listen, one thing I know is, like any Director of Elections, I can't control the result, but I can control the campaign. And I believe that Fianna Fáil will put in a very strong campaign. And my first task as Director of Elections is to organise a convention so that we can get a candidate selected, get into the field. I don't know when the by-election is going to be, but Fianna Fáil will contest a very vigorous and competitive campaign.
If you don't deliver, though, on this one, Jim O'Callaghan, it'll be really difficult for you to be the next leader of Fianna Fáil.
Claire, I'm not interested in that. I've been asked to do a job. People said to me before I ever got elected in Dublin Bay South, sure, that's not a Fianna Fáil area. You haven't a hope of getting elected. And I got a seat in 2016. I retained it in 2020 against stiff competition from people such as Kate O'Connell. We're going to run a very good campaign. And as I said to you, I don't know what the result will be, but I can be judged on the campaign that I organise.
And one of the big issues, of course, you'll be dealing with is housing in that by-election. Looking at the last week, you're on the back foot.
Well, listen, housing hasn't just become an issue in the past week. The way some people seek to present it as though housing has just become an issue, it was the predominant issue in the last general election, and it was the issue that has dominated political discourse really for the past 10 years or so. But Fianna Fáil, we've only been in government for 10 months. Dara O'Brien has put forward initiatives. Dara O'Brien has put forward initiatives. In fairness to him, he doesn't state that either one of them is going to resolve the issue. But collectively, over time, we're going to tackle this problem. It is the biggest social crisis facing the country. If we don't resolve it or don't make serious dents in it, we'll be judged at the next general
election. It's just interesting how this is going to impact the relationship between Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael. Jack Horgan-Jones in the Irish Times a couple of months ago said a Fianna Fáil source said Fine Gael wouldn't have done any of these new housing policies if they were in government on their own. Fine Gael sources then rejected that, and one said Fianna Fáil have added one thing, the shared equity scheme, and everyone says it's a shite idea. Now, I'm quoting. I've cleaned it up a little bit there.
Thanks for clarifying that. Does
this issue have the potential to drive a real wedge between the two government parties?
No, listen, I know there's a desire on the part of political opponents and, in fairness, political journalism as well, to try to identify conflict within government. But listen, I'm satisfied that the government and Dara O'Brien leading the housing portfolio recognise that it has to challenge this and we have to resolve the housing crisis. The only way it's going to be done ultimately is through greater supply. We need to be much more radical, is my opinion, in respect of dealing with the supply of housing, but we need to be given time to deal with it. He's only in there 10 months. We need to be given further time.
Okay,
and I think the government needs to work consistently and coherently together in order to resolve this crisis.
Now, you mentioned that you're on the programme to talk about the changes to the Children's Act. The Court of Appeal ruling means that parents of murdered children they weren't able to talk about those children publicly without fear of breaking the law. And it also meant that child victims of high profile murders or alleged murders couldn't be named in the media. You were on this programme the day after this story emerged in October of last year, saying it was an absurdity that the Oireachtas had to and the Oireachtas had to act now and act quickly. So should it have been fixed sooner, and why did all of this take so long?
Well, it only was identified on the 29th of October last that Section 252 of the Children Act now applied to children who had been unlawfully killed. It never applied to that previously. But listen, I put forward a bill. Senator Michael McDougall put forward a bill. We met with Helen McEntee. We got cross-party support and we changed the law. Now, I suppose it did take a period of 6-7 months to get it commenced. But there's a recognition that this is an area of some complexity. But the good news is now is that the families of children who've been unlawfully killed don't have to be nervous about naming them. I'm thinking of people such as Kathleen Chadha, who'll be able now to talk about her sons, Owen and Rory, who were murdered. Before, she was hesitant about being able to speak in the media about them in case of violating Section 252. The same applies to Andrew McGinley in respect of his children, Connor, Dara and Carla. So it put huge stress on very many families. And it also created absurdities. I think of that young boy, Josh Dunn, who was fatally stabbed in the inner city in January, with a situation where when he was killed, he was identified, but once proceedings commenced, he could only be referred to as a teenager.
But there are some cases, aren't there, where due to specific court orders being made since that initial ruling, there are many children who still can't be named until each of those individual orders are challenged.
Well, I'm not sure about that because the law has now changed and it applies retrospectively. And obviously in the situation in respect of Kathleen Chadha, she now can name her children
without
anything.
Yeah, it's different though to cases that were specifically live at the time and where a judge may have said, I'm placing this special and specific court order on the naming of the victim of the crime here. This was additional to the law.
But if that was done, if it was done under Section 252, that would no longer be operative because Section 252, as it previously applied, no longer applies. There may be other circumstances in a case why a court would place a, I suppose, a non-publication order on the circumstances of a case. Okay. But it can't apply now in respect of Section 252 because that's been changed.
Okay. Can anything be done? Because we know how traumatising this was for the families involved. Can anything be done to make sure that similar issues don't occur in future?
Well, listen, this operated very effectively for 19 years from the Children Act of 2001. And it was only as a result of the application brought by the TPP in the case that came to the Court of Appeal last October that it changed. But I suppose what it does indicate is that when legislation is going through the Houses of the Oireachtas, we have to be very careful to try to consider all the circumstances that can arise. And maybe that in part, Claire, explains why it took a bit of time, 6-7 months, in order to bring in this act, because we had to be very careful and there were changes made at committee stage, and I want to commend Helen McEntee as well for taking on board the suggestions that I and Michael McDougall made during committee stage.
Jim O'Callaghan, thank you for joining us on the programme. We're going to be talking about that, a news that emerged last night that Owen Harris will no longer be writing for the Sunday Independent with immediate effect. This is connected to a fake Twitter account that he was involved in.
Email todaycb@rte.ie.